past number of weeks unpacking the concepts and learning about emotionally healthy spirituality. If you've been around over the last number of weeks, you've noticed that we've been talking a lot about that. And so it's something that is so significant. Emotionally healthy spirituality is so significant in our walk and our following Jesus that it actually demands our attention. It demands our attention. And again, the message in Pastor Pete Scazzaro's book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality is that it is impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally mature. It is impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And I love that message because to me that talks about the whole person, right? Because a lot of times in church what we do is we get together and we talk about scripture, which is really, really great. We talk about Jesus, which is really, really great. And we talk about how, you know, how do we take some of that and apply that into our lives, which I think, yeah, that's the whole point. Right? I mean, it's great to know history. It's great to know what's going on and what's happened, but we need to know how do we apply this? How do we walk in this today? But sometimes we tend to neglect or forget about our emotions in the midst of all of that. In fact, sometimes we want to avoid our emotions. How many of you have ever done that before? Avoided your emotions. We sometimes do that. And we do that by doing different things, right? We don't talk about it, or we do something else, or we distract ourselves and whatnot, whatnot, and on it goes. But it's an incredibly important thing to talk about in our faith, in our walk with God. And so I encourage you to engage in that conversation with Jesus, engage in that conversation with your spirit, with your emotions as well, because you will grow through it. And so that's the encouragement for you this morning. In our journey towards emotionally healthy spirituality, there are actually many areas in our lives that we can look at. Last week, we looked at the real temptation that we face on a regular basis to live outside of our authentic selves. We did a two-part sermon on being authentic. What does it mean to be authentic, right? To be yourself, to be your true self, your real self. And so we talked about the temptation that exists all the time to live outside of our authentic selves, right? And how Jesus himself was tempted to embrace less than the life that God had given him to live, and to live actually a false self. The enemy wanted him to live a false self. And how the culture around us actually leads us to question ourselves and our value and our identity. And so if you know, remember last week, we talked about some of that. We spent some time looking at how to develop our authentic self. You know, some different areas, some different ways to actually develop our true selves, our authentic selves, and to be who God created us to be, and to be able to live the life that he intended us to live. That emotional growth is done through paying closer attention to what's happening on the inside, right? Again, in an area that sometimes we don't pay close attention to. Things happen on the inside, and then we just go on with our day. We don't pay close enough attention to what's happening. It's an area that we often pass over, and we don't take that time to examine it. But it can lead, taking that time to look at what's going on inside, can actually lead us to a deeper understanding of our emotions and how does that work in our relationship with God. We were encouraged last week to truly develop, in truly developing our authentic self, it requires us other people in our lives, that we don't really develop our authentic selves without other people, friends in our lives that we can build relationship with and trust with, that they can actually be able to tell us what they see in us, to be able to help us see the blind spots in our lives. Anyone here have blind spots? Anyone? Yeah. You could say, yeah, I don't know. It's a blind spot. I'm not sure if I have one. Yeah, we all have some blind spots, right? We all have them. And we need good people in our lives that can actually be really honest with us in a loving way. This morning, I want to highlight another really important aspect of our everyday life that leads us to emotionally healthy spirituality, and that's our joy. How many of you walk in joy, like joy, want to be have joy in your life? Yeah, we want to have joy in our lives. How many of you struggle with having joy in your life on a regular basis? You know, you wrestle with it maybe. You struggle. You know, sometimes we do. We fight that. We wrestle with that in our lives. But it's joy. And I find myself over the past number of months praying regularly for an overwhelming sense of joy and peace in my own life. Like it's just a regular prayer. I just felt I want to be praying that. I want to be speaking it out. Lord, would you just bring an overwhelming sense of joy and peace in my life on a daily basis? And that is this joy in that this peace would be seen in all aspects of my life, right? I have joy in certain aspects of my life and peace in certain, and in other aspects, there doesn't seem to be as much joy and as much peace. And so I've been praying, God, would you bring a greater sense of joy, a greater sense of peace in all aspects of my life? And again, it's not because I don't have that joy or that peace, but I want a deeper sense of that joy and peace in every part of my life every day. You see, where real joy helps in having a rooted perspective of what's happening around us, that having that real joy gives us that rooted perspective of what's happening around us. And joy is not is so important not only to our mental health, but even our physical health, isn't it? Right? I mean, if you have no joy and you're walking around, you know, depressed all the time, that has a physical impact on us, doesn't it? Right? I mean, again, joy is powerful. Joy is powerful. We all know the opposite of joy. And again, being stressed and being unhappy, it affects our health. But then we have to believe that having an attitude of joy should have positive effects on our life. Absolutely. And when we think about it, everyone wants to be happy, don't they? We all want to be happy. We all want to be joy-filled. But here's the thing. When we make it a goal, when we think about our lives, we make joy a goal. We think about it all the time. We think about it when we spend money. We're thinking about it in the experiences that we're looking for. We want to have joy. We want to have joy. The challenge with that is that if we completely depend on things of the world to bring us happiness, we will always be disappointed. Like, we'll always be disappointed if we're looking for things in the world to bring that happiness or that joy, because eventually everything changes, doesn't it? Eventually everything changes. The things of the world break down, our health deteriorates, and all the money can be gone, right? It can happen. It can happen. So contrasting happiness, this idea of happiness, is this idea of joy. And sometimes we kind of just put it together, don't we? We put joy and happiness together. Well, but they're really not together. Happiness is one thing. Joy can be a totally different thing. Joy actually goes a lot deeper, and it's actually a lot stronger than happiness in itself. So follow me on that. So this morning, we're going to discover that real and actually lasting joy is for every person that knows Jesus. It's available to all of us if you know Jesus, that you can have a lasting joy regardless of the challenges, regardless of the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in on a regular basis. One commentator writes this: joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that he will be there no matter what. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. We could talk about all the difficulties that Jesus went through during his life on earth and how he overcame them and walked sinless through all of those things. But again, you might sit here and think, well, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He could do that. Even though he was all man, he was also the Son of God. And of course, he can do that. You might be sitting here thinking, well, that's not really a fair comparison. I'm nothing like Jesus. So let's look at someone who's just as fully human as any one of us here this morning. And that's the Apostle Paul. He knew a thing or two about being in difficult situations. If you've read your Bible, you know Paul went through all kinds of things, didn't he? So again, why don't you open your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, and we'll look at God's Word together, this letter from Paul. And let's read that together. Philippians chapter 1, 1 to 11. This is what it says. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So, it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Finally, says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again that you put all kinds of challenges before us, whether they are things in our physical, in our workplace, God, or other emotional kind of challenges, different kind of things that we are consistently going to deal with and come up against in our life, because that's life. And God, you give us the option and the opportunity and really the privilege to be able to come to you and to look to you and to invite you into those challenges and ask you to speak into these things, Lord, so that we can put our trust and our faith in you. And so, God, we thank you that you're with us each and every single day, that we're not on our own, just kind of trying to figure things out, but that you are with us. And so, Jesus, we thank you that we can put our trust in you, we can put our confidence in you, and we can actually have our joy in you, rooted in you. And how in all of that, our emotional maturity, Lord, grows. And our spiritual growth happens because we are connecting, Lord, how we are feeling and what's going on the inside, God, to you and to the fact that we know you and that you know us. And so, Lord, even as we've worshiped you this morning in singing, and we've worshiped you in taking communion together, we've had fellowship together, we were hearing from your word together, God, there can be, again, a deep-rooted joy in all of that, in the relationship, in that interaction with you and with each other. Lord, in the relationships that we have with one another here in this place, God, there's joy. Joy in knowing that even though it's not all perfect, far from it, you're with us. And that in you, we have all that we need. And so continue to do this good work in us. Continue to lead us to that place of really being rooted in you and finding spiritual maturity and emotional maturity together. And so thank you, Jesus, that you've made us whole the way we are, and that every aspect of who we are and the way you've made us is to be submitted to you and filtered through your lens. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. Amen. Now, if you know the story, if you know Philippians, you know what's going on here. Paul was in prison. He was in chains because he was preaching and telling people about Jesus. That's what was going on. But in all of this, he maintains his joy in serving Jesus. He maintains his emotional health in serving Jesus. He doesn't despair. He doesn't lose hope. He doesn't just crumble. He doesn't say, you know, maybe this is not for me. He maintains his joy in serving Jesus. So how does he do this? I mean, you know, could we be joyful in the face of that much adversity? Could we be joyful in the place of being really, put in prison for saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus? I mean, I think that could be difficult, right? In reading the passage of Scripture, we saw Paul, again, use this word, you, 14 different times. And this is so important, understanding how we can live our lives with all the challenges that we face and still have a deep sense of joy. Now, chances are that when we're in really difficult situations, we're not really saying you very much, okay? Instead, we're probably using I a lot more. I can't believe this is happening to me. Or we may be using you and blaming someone else for the issues that we're dealing with, right? I mean, we do that a lot, right? I mean, this is a problem, that's a problem, this is because of this person, that's because of that person. We can do that a lot, right? So instead of taking that ownership ourselves, we can kind of put things on other people. Paul wasn't doing that at all. He wasn't doing that at all because he understood that no matter what the circumstances he was in, that he would live out joy and do what God was calling him to do. Not being worried about the situation that he was in, but instead staying focused on what God wanted to do in and through him. And so here is what happens to us sometimes. We forget that. We forget that God is doing something in us and through us in the challenges and in those circumstances. And so instead of, again, saying, God, I want you to work in my emotions, we get caught up in our emotions. right? Anybody agree with me here, or am I on my own? Right? We get caught up in our emotions, don't we? And it's really hard to submit that to God. So we gotta be challenged in this. Because again, it's good to just hear, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should do that. But really be challenged in this and say, God, how do I seek your joy in a deeper way in my life? You know, regardless of again where you're at, I can guarantee you there are gonna be challenges just around the corner. There always are. And the choice that we always have is to say, Jesus, can you walk with me through these things? Can you help me in the midst of these things? So I want to take a minute. I want to pray for you right now, if that's okay. If it's not okay, you can just say, you know, nothing. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you this morning again, Lord, that in the challenges where we can give in to our emotions so often, and I do it all the time, God, I pray that you'd help us to just take a minute to think and a minute to say, Jesus, I need you to show me in the midst of this what's really going on inside. And that in doing so, I'm not just trying to get self-awareness, I'm actually submitting that to you. And so, Father, I pray for all of us here today that the next time we find ourselves in that situation where emotions are building and ramping up, that we just stop. And we say, God, I want to go a different way than maybe I'm used to going. That one thing kind of leads to another and another. But God, I want to go in a way that says, I want to know that I know you and you're with me in this. And I don't have to keep going down that same road. So Jesus, I pray that you just help us to take a moment and to stop and to say, God, I want to be, again, rooted in you. Even in the midst of the challenge and even in the midst of the emotion. So help us with that, Lord, today. Help us with that this week so that we can continue to grow. Amen. Paul says about the believers in Philippi, I have you in my thoughts. And in verse 3, he says, every time I think about you. And so the first point this morning is, how do others think about us? How do others think about us? For most of us, just thinking about certain people can bring different feelings to mind, can it? Both good and not so good. It could be anger because they offended you, or resentment because of what they did, or some other unresolved issue that causes pain. Now you can turn that around, perhaps, and say, how do you and I make people feel? What do they think about when they think about us? Now, we would all hope that we would bring good thoughts and joy to people's minds and hearts when they think about us, right? I mean, that's kind of the idyllic world we live in, right? It's, oh, yeah, I mean, everybody loves me, right? I mean, you know, do you ever think that? Oh, yeah, of course, everyone loves me. Well, why would anyone think anything other than good, happy thoughts and joyful thoughts when they think about me, right? I mean, well, it's kind of sometimes the world that we live in. But do we really actually have that kind of reaction in people's hearts and minds? Because maybe, just maybe, when they think about us, they think about other things. They feel, you know, we talk to them, and in our conversations, they maybe feel kind of guilty after talking to us because we put things on other people or other expectations on people or the conversation. Or maybe that we're negative maybe in our conversations and we just bring other people down on a regular basis. That'd be a bit challenging. Are we maybe so opinionated ourselves that others, people's thoughts aren't even relevant? You know, we just want to kind of share our opinions and our thoughts that I don't care about what anyone else thinks. You just got to know what I think. I mean, sometimes that happens. So people kind of go, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I get to hear your opinion again. Right on. Or maybe we're so critical that we kind of get this, people get a knot in their stomach when they see us coming. That's, again, always fun, too. It's like, oh, this is going to be a great conversation.
No, it's not.
You know, it's just, you know, you just don't feel good. But here's what God-centered, joy-filled life, what a God-centered, joy-filled life does when it comes to how people see us. And again, obviously, this is not 24-7 all the time because we're just walking around with a smile on our face all the time. That doesn't happen. But if we have that God-centered, joy-filled life, people see us differently. People are inspired with joy. They see and that, and they want that. had a few really neat experiences over the last couple of weeks with people. You know, random things. You didn't necessarily invite those conversations, but they happened, and you can't help but think, like, God, thank you for that. God, you lead that. But I have to think that some of that has to do with the example of trying to live that place, live in a place of joy and peace, that people see that, right? And again, I think people are attracted to that when you're joy-filled, regardless of the circumstances, and you have peace. Our joy can change other people's perspectives. And that's, again, my word for 2019 is perspective. Our joy in Christ can change people's perspectives about God, can change people's perspectives about the challenges that they might be facing. Joy changes our outlook. Our living a joy-filled life can actually make others feel better when they're with you. You know? I mean, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. There's all kinds of situations that people deal with in our life, in this life, that they just don't find a whole lot of peace and they don't feel great about day-to-day things. But if we can be people that are God-centered, Christ-centered, joy-filled people, we can actually be around people where they feel better when they're with us. You see, for Paul, he was full of joy when he thought about the church. Paul was full of joy when he thought about the church. He remembered the people that came to believe in Jesus. So what about us this morning? As we think about our lives in like the here and the now, whatever the circumstances might be, perhaps we're really doing well and joy is easy for us right now, or we're in a place where it makes it difficult for us to have a sense of joy. Every one of us can look back and we can see what God's been doing in our lives. Like many times when I'm having conversations with people and they're having a difficulty and they're really just honed in on that difficulty, I have to encourage them to just pull the lens back a little bit. You know, if you had a camera, pull the lens back. Go wider on your lens and see everything that God's done in your life. And if that doesn't help you have a sense of joy and a sense of peace that, you know, God has actually been at work over this long period of time in my life, that I don't have to be, and again, it's human nature. We get very focused in on what's happening in front of us right now. Instead of taking a moment and pulling the lens back and just saying, look at what God's been doing. Look at the change over a period of time, and we can find joy in that. Look back and see what God's been doing. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it reminds us this. God's word says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago that can bring us real joy in the middle of difficult circumstances, in the middle of difficult times, knowing that we are God's masterpiece, that he's created us anew. So we can do the good things he planned for us. See, I find joy in knowing that God loves us. I find real joy in that. I find real joy in knowing that God loves me. That no matter the challenges, that he is with us. That the Holy Spirit, being the comforter and being our guide, leads us to knowing this deep love in our hearts and minds. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You see, we can know that. We can know that. And Paul is sitting here. He's dealing with some extremely difficult circumstances, yet he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about others, and that brings him joy. You see, for you and I this morning, we can be the people that bring good news, and we can bring hope, and we can bring joy to those outside of the church. We have that ability to do that because we know Jesus, because we have that joy in us. That when they meet us, that deep sense of joy that we have and that we live it out would be something that we're remembered by. I mean, imagine what would happen if people knew that no matter what situation that we were in, that we had a trust that led to joy, a joy that's greater, a joy that's rooted in knowing Jesus, if people saw that. You see, people want a joy like that. They want a joy like that that isn't based on finding something that makes them happy for just a moment. People want that. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says this. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Next point is this. We choose to be joyful. We choose to be joyful. Now, how many of you would raise a hand with me this morning and say that, yes, joy is a choice. I choose to be joyful. Yes, we make a choice to be joyful many times. It's really easy to be joyful, again, when things are going well, when we're enjoying life and everything is good. But when we're in the midst of difficult circumstances, hard things, joy is a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge to have that joy. And so, you know, you can call it suffering, you can call it a challenge, you can call it whatever you want, but joy is difficult to hold on to in those moments. And so we have to make a choice. We have to choose joy. You see, suffering isn't something that gets really talked about a lot in the church these days. We don't talk a lot about suffering. You know, again, when you tell people that, hey, you come to know Jesus and you're going to have to suffer because of that, it's not really something that's really promoting. I want to be a part of that. Let's share that. But we need to do that because it's a reality. It's a truth. Because with the Holy Spirit in us, with Jesus working in us, we discover things that those who don't know Jesus don't know. And because of that, we have to walk in a way that's different than those who don't know Jesus. And some of that can lead to suffering. It can lead to some challenges. But because we don't talk about this very much in the life of the church, we have problems and we have challenges with people not being able to cope with the difficulties of life. Because so many have bought into this message that promotes this kind of blessing and cursing type of understanding of God. And just follow me here for a minute. To put it simply, this type of teaching says this: if your life is going well, then God is on your side. How many of you ever kind of lived that way before? If life is going well, God is on my side. And the other side of that is, if you're not doing well and things are really hard, you've done something wrong. God's not happy with you. Maybe you've kind of lived some of that type of theology before, right? And it's faulty. It's not true. It doesn't work that way. That's an oversimplification of some of these things. And so it doesn't work that. The truth is this, that without difficulties, we can't mature into fully developed followers of Jesus. And so if that's a reality, how on earth does it make sense that, you know, if things are not going well in your life, that you've done something wrong, right? You can't grow without challenges. You can't grow without adversity. Listen to what Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5 says this: we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Follow that, right? You see how that kind of works, right? And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So if you want to grow in your endurance and if you want to grow in your confidence of your hope in salvation, embrace the challenges joyfully. You see, when we find ourselves in difficult times, we can either choose to run and isolate ourselves from God and other believers, or we can choose joy in knowing that it's for our growth. And in these times, we can actually gather support from our church family in prayer and in other practical ways. I find joy in knowing that I have people here that I can connect with about real life things going on in my life. There's joy in that. You see, it's a choice for us to live in joy, even in challenges, even in suffering. And when we do choose that, we are in fact developing endurance and maturity, and our character is strengthened, as the scripture that we just read says. And then our confidence, our salvation becomes greater. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You can have challenges, but joy is going to come in the morning. There's an end to suffering. There's an end to the challenges. And ultimately, we have to realize that this could come at the end of our earthly lives. But the Bible is clear that our hope is in the life that we have after this life. In eternity that lasts far beyond the longest lives that we may ever have. Our joy is rooted in knowing that we belong to Jesus. Our future hope is to be with Jesus. So I want to live my life growing to have a greater endurance and character through trials and challenges. That I would have a joy in all things as I trust and I follow Jesus. And that's my goal, and I hope that's your goal. We have to develop the character of God in us. We have to develop the endurance in us. Because, friends, times aren't getting any easier. They're just getting more challenging. Lastly is, how are we seen as God's people? We've talked about what others think about us as individuals and the joy that we live our lives with in the midst of most all kinds of circumstances that affects us around us. We've talked about the fact that having joy in difficulty is a choice. And then finally, again, this final thought is, how are we seen as the church, as God's people? That's probably open to all kinds of conversation right now. How does God see, or how do people see God's people? How do people see outside the church, see his people? Again, now I know that we're one of a number of churches in Gibson's, but that make up this family of God. But again, imagine with me for a moment, if we were the only church in Gibson's. There's no other Christian church in this community. We were the only one. How would Jesus be seen in us as a whole? How would Jesus be seen in us as a whole? You see, that's the question that we need to ask. What's the view that this community has of Christian Life Assembly? Those of us here today, all of us that know Jesus, we represent him as part of his church. Do they see a God-centered joy in us as they interact with us? Do they see a confidence in us that we know Jesus, that we don't have it all together, we don't have it all figured out, but because we know Jesus, we have the confidence in knowing him and who he is? I'm going to invite the worship team to just come up and join me here. Here's another good question. Does the community around us see CLA as a group of people that are concerned about them? Concerned enough to go out of their way to joyfully serve and share God's love as his people? Are lives being transformed as they hear about Jesus living in us? So let me close with this thought this morning. It's not the activities that we do here that are actually going to impact this community and cause them to see Jesus in us. It's actually how they see us living with real joy in our hearts, as real people, serving, knowing that loving Jesus in our community is going to impact them. Now again, I know it's not perfect because we're a whole big room full of imperfect people. The goal, the point is that we keep trying. We keep taking steps forward. We keep challenging ourselves. Say, God, how do you want to work in us and through us? And be honest. Being honest with what's going on inside and what's holding us back. I was having this conversation with Chris earlier this week about fear and how fear holds us back from all kinds of things, really. And fear is also an emotion, right? We feel afraid. We don't generally say, I think afraid. I feel afraid. And many times, those fears are irrational, right? So let me invite you to stand with me this morning if you're able to do that. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 9 to 11. He said this, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So this morning, I want us to pray together that if we are in a place here this morning and that fear word is something that maybe you wrestle with in whatever area of your life, that it actually takes away joy in your confidence of who Jesus is, I want to pray for us. We all deal with it. It's not just you. It's not just, you know, sometimes you can stand there and think, I must be the only one that deals with that. But that's not the reality. We all have fears. We all have challenges. We all have things that are just not going well. And they steal our joy. And they steal our peace. You see, this is the thing. And remember this as we go from this place. When we root our joy and our peace in Jesus, all of those things, all those fears, can't change that, can't take that away. So let's pray. And if you're here this morning, we don't necessarily do this every week or anything like that, but if you're here this morning and you just said, man, I want to have this deeper sense of joy in my life, I really invite you to come and come forward, and we just want to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. As I pray regularly, Lord, let there be a deeper sense of joy and peace in my life. I pray that you would have that also and have that desire also. I don't need to know the circumstance or the situation that you might be dealing with. God knows. You can talk to God about that, but I'd love to pray with you. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, I thank you today that you are the joy giver. God, that it is, our joy in you is so much deeper than the circumstances of our life. And that no matter what the fears are, no matter what the challenges are that we deal with, God, that our joy being rooted in you actually leads us to maturity. It actually leads us to have more endurance and have a deeper confidence in you. And so, Lord, our heart, our desire here is to have emotional maturity, Lord, and spiritual maturity, and God, to bring our whole selves before you. And so, Father, we just submit ourselves. We submit all our fears to you today, God. We give all our fears to you today. Maybe we just give you the ones that are at the front of our mind right now. And in the Spirit, we just give those to you and ask you, Lord, to do something with that. But Lord, I pray for all of us today that there would be a sense of joy, a deep sense of joy. That when it comes to our emotions, that we don't allow our emotions to run amok in us. But instead, we just give them over to you and say, again, filter them, Lord, through you. And that's hard work. But God, I do believe that the more we do that, the more familiar your voice becomes in the midst of those emotions, and the less fear has a grip on us. And so God, we just ask you again, Lord, as we've partaken of your body and your blood today, as we've remembered, Lord, in communion, that the sacrifice that was made for us on the cross was for all of this. So that we could walk in confidence, so we could walk in peace, so we could walk in joy, and walk in maturity. And Lord, so that you could work in us and through us, so that many people will come to know you as we know you. Again, Father, I pray for any single person here today that is just maybe outside of relationship with you. They're exploring you, exploring spirituality, exploring faith, want to know more about this God person. Lord, would you make yourself really real to them right now? Father, I thank you for each and every single person here today. God, I don't take for granted that all these people are going to be here. But Lord, I'm thankful. And God, I give you thanks that we together as a family can journey together, we can walk together, and in all the messiness of that. And so we just thank you that we could do this today, that we could meet with you, and you would meet with us. Again, it's like the lyric of the song that we sang earlier, Befriended. We are befriended by the King of Kings. We're befriended by Jesus, our Lord. So speak life, Lord, into each and every single person here. We pray this, Lord, knowing that you hear us. And we pray this, God, knowing that you're with us and that you're here in this place today, right now. Amen.